This is the Redis Stars podcast, where we talk with community members about what's new and what they're doing with Redis.
Hello, I'm Dave Nielsen, head of community and ecosystem programs at Redis Labs. This week we have Aaron Chambers, senior engineer at Forest and creator and co-maintainer of Ember CLI Deploy. Welcome, Aaron. Thank you for joining from Ireland. Where exactly are you?
Thanks, Dave. Pleasure to be here. I'm in Cork, right down south in the Rebel County.
What's it like down there right now? Is it green?
Very green. It's freezing today, but yeah, very green and beautiful. It's a lovely part of the world.
Oh, excellent. I'd love to get there someday. I've been up to Dublin, but not down to Cork. Let's get right into this. Found you online, was looking for speakers for Redis Day London and ran into your talk, and there seemed to be some interest from the people online about it. So I looked into it further and kind of opened up a whole world of Ember and front-end tools to me that I guess I hadn't run into this too much before. So before we get into that, why don't you tell me a little bit about what you do, and then we'll kind of ease into the Redis part of it. What do you do?
Well, I guess during the day, I'm a senior developer at Forest. So we make Salon software for small to medium-sized Salons. So basically, we build an app that they use to run their business, and we're building that currently in Ember. It's currently in the old versions in Java Swing, and we're porting it and shipping it to Ember. That's currently what I'm up to.
All right. So for those who are new to Ember, what is Ember?
Well, it's I guess if you look on the website, it says it's a framework for building ambitious web applications. And it's essentially a JavaScript framework, which it's very opinionated, much like Rails. It comes with a lot of conventions and opinions, gives you everything from the build tools to the rendering engine, everything like that. So where, say, things like Vue and React, maybe just the rendering component, Ember gives you everything else, including a CLI and build tools and things. So it's a JavaScript framework for building ambitious applications.
I think earlier you said it was sort of, it works with a lot of different backends, but it was sort of inspired by Rails development, I guess.
Yeah, so Yehuda, who is one of the main people behind the framework, used to work on Rails, and so it is heavily inspired by that. In that, it takes a lot of the questions away, all the decisions away. It's very opinionated, and sort of has laid out how things should be laid out and how things should be done. So, If someone is used to the conventions in Rails, this wouldn't feel too unfamiliar to them.
Got it. And Redis was in some ways, I don't know if we would say inspired by Rails, but certainly caught on in the Rails community first. I think it was the first client library was built. So maybe we have sort of a common inspiration, maybe. I don't know.
I'd say if I think about it, Rails is where I first started using Redis and learning about it. So
Yeah, that was where Redis first caught on. Okay, so now you have been involved in a project called Ember CLI. In fact, you're the creator of the Ember CLI Deploy. Tell me a little bit more about that. What does that do? Why would developers use it?
Yeah, so it's different to Ember CLI. So Ember CLI is the CLI that ships with Ember, and Ember CLI Deploy is an add-on that basically you can install and will provide you with a deployment pipeline, we like to call it, from which you can compose and orchestrate a number of different plugins that to automate your deployment of an Ember app. So I guess the origins of it come from probably 6 years ago when I first learned about Ember. I think I saw something on Twitter and it sounded interesting. I started looking at it, and it was really the first sort of JavaScript library I'd started playing with. And I just had no idea in my head how to deploy a JavaScript app. Didn't make sense to me. I just didn't have a mental model for it. And I came across a presentation from a guy called Luke Melia, who was doing a presentation at RailsConf, I think, in 2014. And he kind of described this way that he ships his Rails apps, or ships the front-end JavaScript component of his Rails apps. And it all of a sudden was like a light bulb went off, and it made sense to me. And basically, I started building a tool to help me automate the pattern that he'd sort of described, and that's since evolved into Ember CLI Deploy. And it's essentially just a library. We've written the core library that allows you to orchestrate this deployment pipeline, and we have a massive ecosystem of hundreds of plugins that have been written by some by us, the core plugins by us, by the core team, but mostly by the community, which is a really, really interesting thing to see.
Oh, what's an example of a plugin that somebody may have created to work with Ember CLI Deploy?
The one thing I've learned from doing this is that everyone's deployment strategy and scenario is different, and it's all custom, which kind of is counter to what something like Ember is trying to achieve with convention over configuration. And a lot of people think, oh, I don't need something like that. It's deployment simple. I've got a couple of scripts that do it. But if you think about what is entailed in deploying a simple JavaScript app, so a JavaScript client app is essentially made up of a few static files. You've got your JavaScript files, your CSS files, some images, and an index HTML file that points to them. But in the process of shipping that, you need to build all those, often merge all the JavaScripts together, minify them, and do some sort of building to end up with your distributed assets. You want to gzip your assets. You want to maybe create a manifest so that you only upload the ones that are new and haven't changed. You want to fingerprint those assets. You want to upload maybe the assets to S3. You want to upload your index HTML somewhere. You want to maybe do some other things. Maybe once you've deployed, you want to send a message to Slack, or you want to update this and that. There's actually a whole load of little things that happen in that process. It's not just a matter of pushing something up somewhere. And so the intention of a plugin is to be responsible for one single part of that pipeline. And what you'll find is we have plugins for the build process, for uploading to S3, for gzipping, for creating manifests, for maybe creating a JSON config out of your index HTML, all these little pieces. And you can plug them into a pipeline, which essentially is just a bunch of hooks. So the deployment will start, and it'll fire the will deploy hook, and then the initialize hook, and then the upload hook, and the did upload hook, and things like that. And you can write a plugin that hooks into one or more of these hooks in the pipeline. And so what you find is that you can very easily compose a deployment strategy that's very flexible based on what you need, using a combination of the plugins with this Ember CLI Deploy pipeline.
Oh, wow. So did you start off creating Ember CLI Deploy with the idea of having all of these extensions or plugins?
No, that's something that evolved. It initially literally started as a grunt script, I think I called Autobots. You could just do Autobots rollout, and it would sort of build the assets. It's very much built around building the assets and shipping them, and building the index HTML and shipping that to Redis. When a couple of people from the Ember community reached out to me and we got together and we started collaborating on this, We sort of thought, what does the future of this look like? And it evolved quite dramatically from the initial things that I was building at the start to what it is today. It was definitely something, an evolution that happened over time.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. Sounds like a smart move to open up to other innovation and creativity and skills. Probably got you places you would never have gotten. So yeah, nice job. And as you said before, this is now like the state of the art, or the primary way people are deploying in the Ember community?
Yeah, pretty much. It's become, I guess, the de facto way to deploy Ember apps. If you were to ask in the Ember Discord, how do I deploy my Ember app? I'd say 99% of the time, people are going to come back with you with Ember CLI Deploy as the answer to the question.
Well, very good. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is what's got your interest these days. As we were talking about earlier, the Ember CLI Deploy has matured and it's more or less stable. You're maintaining it, and so you're seeing other evolutions come next. So, what do you see coming next? What are you interested in these days? I guess is what I'm asking.
So, I guess in the work I've done with Ember CLI Deploy over the last 5 years, and the patterns that have evolved and we've worked on, which aren't new or invented by us, but I guess has become sort of the core of Ember CLI Deploy, is just this pattern around being able to parallel deploy multiple versions of your application to production, of which Redis really helps, but we'll get into that, I'm sure. But I guess in doing this and talking about this a lot over the last 5 years, and talking about it at different conferences and meetups and everything, like most people in the Ember bubble or Ember community, They know of Ember CLI Deploy, and they understand of what has kind of come to be coined as the lightning strategy. But I got thinking about 12 months ago, like, what about the people outside of Ember? Is this even on people's radars, or is it like Lightning Strategy doesn't mean anything to anyone? It's just a sort of a term that got coined inside the Ember community. But like, is there an equivalent of that strategy out there, or is it that we're working in this great way that other people actually don't know about yet? So that's what's really exciting to me, trying to work out what a ubiquitous language around this strategy is that makes sense, and to see if other people are aware of it, and to try and push it forward as like a really interesting way to ship JavaScript apps.
You were saying earlier that you have seen examples of this on the back end, I guess, or is that what you're talking about? The deployment model used on the back end, but you don't see it so much on the front end, or is that something else?
Yeah, so I did a presentation at ShipperCon a few months back, and I was rushing a pitch, I was trying to put a pitch together, and I didn't really know what to talk about. So we refer to this strategy as the Lightning strategy, but it means nothing to anyone outside of Ember. And it's like, what words can I use that mean something? And I sort of came across something that seemed to hit the mark called immutable deployments. Now, I since changed that again for my actual talk, but as I was researching immutable deployments and what that means and whether that has a similar meaning to what I'm trying to talk about, I noticed a lot of back-end blogs and things coming up about immutable deployments, having atomic deploys where you deploy a distinct version of your app and you have multiple of them on the servers, and maybe you have symlinks that you change, flip between. So like the analogy and the idea of what we're doing in the front end seems to be there in the back end. It has been for some time, but in the front end, I don't really see too many people talking about this. So yeah, I guess that's the interesting thing to me. I mean, I'm very aware that I spend most of my time in Ember, and maybe everyone outside of that world already knows this. And so I'm trying to understand people outside of the Ember community. Are they aware of some of the patterns we use? And if not, well, let's make them aware, because I think it's a cool way to work, and it unlocks a lot of superpowers for our shipping abilities.
Yeah, I can imagine so. And I'm not as familiar with the front end, so I don't know either. I do see this on the back end, like sort of like you have seen, not as much progress as I would like to see, by the way, but there definitely are, especially with containers, you hear the word immutable a lot. But one way to turn this conversation into something about Redis is to ask you about how you see Redis enabling this kind of deployment, and also what kind of patterns you're seeing around front-end frameworks, you know, connecting to back-ends that help make the back-ends, you know, more modern, or, you know, connecting to different data sources. You know, where do you see that going, or what is Ember doing, and where do you see it going?
Where immutable deployments was the first term I was looking at, I guess I sort of settled more on parallel deployments. And so if we sort of step back and think of why people tend to not like shipping to production on Fridays, or not like testing in production, often that is driven by this idea of deployment being, we build our app, we ship it, and users have access to it. And maybe you have feature flagging in there, which also plays a massive part in what we do, but I won't go into that really. That's sort of a separate talk on its own. But obviously you can feature flag things, but the reality of it is the user is still getting that new code. So if you've forgotten to feature flag something, or you've broken something somewhere else, you're still at risk that when you ship that thing, the users get it. And so you end up with things like no deploys on Fridays, or we need a pre-prod and a UAT and a QA environment that we need to ship this code to before it gets to production, or trying to increase that confidence of the app before it gets into users' hands. And this is really common, but I think we can do it much better. And in a number of companies now, I've implemented this sort of parallel deployment strategy based on Ember CLI deploy, because that's what we're using, but it doesn't need to be, whereby we can start to ship stuff to production, but really control that blast radius about when and who gets access to the actual files. And once you do that, it becomes super powerful. So I guess at a high level, if we think about the front-end JavaScript app, like I was saying, we build the app and end up essentially with, say, some JavaScript files, some CSS, some images, and an index.html file that points to those assets. And those assets are fingerprinted, meaning that if the file has a name, there's another file with the same name, we can be sure that it's got the same same contents, because the file name is fingerprinted based on the SHA of the file. So what we end up with is these assets, and we send them to S3 or wherever, some CDM where that you would normally do. But where traditionally that idea of deployment would be, we ship them off, we ship the index.html to a web server, and now that's what people get when they hit the URL for our app. We now send that index.html file, that snippet of HTML that points to those versioned assets. We actually upload that into Redis. And we store it in Redis, this little blob of HTML, maybe 100 lines or so, with a key that is a unique key that identifies that revision for us. Where I am at Forest, we use the Git SHA, because that uniquely identifies, I guess, the state of an application at any point in time. So we ship this HTML off to Redis and save it with a unique key, the revision key. And that allows us to, so every time we deploy, we can send our app to the production Redis instance. But what we also have is another key in Redis that points to the what we call the active version. And this is the version that a user will get whenever they come to our website. So in front of Redis, the magic little part is a little web server that basically serves the index.html to the browser. So every time you come to app.forest.com, you will hit this web server and it will go to Redis and say, give me the active version of the app. And so that's what it will serve, that index.html blob that is marked as the active one. But the really cool thing here, where it becomes really, really cool for us and powerful, is that when we're using it, we can pass in a query parameter with our Git SHA that represents another version of our app that's been deployed. And doing that, the web server will realize you don't want the active version, you want this other particular version. And so we can actually start to preview versions of our app in production, in the very same production environment that our users are using before they get access to it. And so there we're really controlling that blast radius. We're pushing our code as far as close to production, actually to production as possible, without the user having access to it. And then at some point in the future, when we're ready, when we've previewed this version, we've sent it to QAs or the stakeholders, whoever, we can then decide we want to activate that new version. And instead of doing that whole traditional deployment today, packaging stuff, shipping it, it's already there in production. And so deployment now becomes simply changing a key in Redis to point the active version from the previous one to the new one. So all of a sudden, deployment in traditional sense, which is the making it active for users, is blindingly fast, which then goes to say rollback is just as fast. It's just a matter of activating a previously known good revision of our app. Wow. So that's sort of the TLDR, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's impressive. I can see how that would be a much faster way of getting new users to view, you know, what you've been working on in a you know, with the real data that you're going to be deploying it with. And is that what happens? Like, it's actually working against the live data, right? So it's not a separate copy of the data or anything like that.
Absolutely. It's the very same production environment. We actually ship our pull requests every time we push to a feature branch in GitHub. We ship that to production. So this is we're talking about pull requests that haven't even been merged to master yet. So if you were to look at any one of our pull requests, you will see an entry in the pull request giving you a link to that revision of the app. And every time you push, it will deploy that new revision. So you can kind of imagine what that's like for the developer experience. If I want someone to review my pull request, they don't need to clone the repo, pull down my pull request, install dependencies, run it locally, and get some sort of confidence that it works. They can literally test my pull request in production right there. They just need to click on a link. And what they're testing is exactly the same code that the user is going to be using. And for me then to make that available to users, I merge it into master, but I just need to switch that active key in Redis to point to that new version so all the users get it as well.
Yeah, and you can kind of see the immutable, where immutable comes from. Hey, by the way, what's the new phrase or term you've been playing around with?
So I guess, like, to me, it's more parallel deployments, being able to deploy multiple versions of our app to production and that coexist at the same time. I think that slightly more accurately reflects what we're talking about. And I did some research, and I found it nicely fell under the sphere of there's a guy called James, someone, Monk Chips on Twitter.
Is it James McGovern?
That's the guy, yeah. And he talks about this progressive delivery. And listening to his talks, he seemed to say a lot of the things that we're talking about here, which was really nice to to find this umbrella term that other people are actually already using that this kind of fits nicely into. But yeah, parallel deployments, I think sort of fits slightly better than immutable deployments in this case.
Yeah, I can see that. So we're running out of time here, but I wanted to ask one more question. It's more of a general question around using Ember. As far as integrating with other databases or other applications, it seems like you said you could use this with Rails. But how does that work? Because you said you've got a web server there, and then but you've also got some other application framework you might be using. Do people use both, or is it mostly just an Ember with the database? But what else might be in the back end?
When I talk about the web server, this is a very small web server, literally whose job is to serve our app, which is completely separate to any API servers that we have. So the back end at Forest is actually written in Java, but essentially, it depends on how you want to build your app, but we build ours very decoupled from the API. Our Ember app is literally a client of the API, and it talks over REST. Ember data, which is sort of like the data layer of Ember, works out of the box with JSON API, which is sort of a standard sort of specification that has come out of various things that tries to take a lot of the questions and decisions around what a format of a payload should look like. And it understands JSON API. So literally if any backend, it could be Elixir, could be Ruby, could be Java, could be anything you want. As long as if that talks JSON API, then Ember's going to be able to talk to it. So that's sort of the beauty of it. It doesn't really matter what's in the backend. If you have this REST interface, it could be GraphQL or anything. If you have this interface over which you talk, then it doesn't really matter what's behind it.
Yeah, okay, got it. So it almost seems like an excellent front end for some microservices-based architecture or something.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And is the authentication handled usually by some sort of session store that might be also in Redis?
Could be. Again, it's however you choose to implement it. The Ember app is just a client, so you could absolutely do that with Redis in the back end for sure. There are libraries in like Ember libraries that handle the auth for you if you like, using OAuth or whatever you choose. It really kind of comes down to how you want to build it. The Ember app is just the client side app, so whatever APIs you provide to do those sorts of things.
It'd be a conversation or a topic for another podcast.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, all right, Aaron. Well, it's really been nice chatting with you here, and stay warm over there in Cork, and look forward to following you online and seeing what happens next with the Ember CLI deploy, and hope to have you back again sometime.
Thanks so much, Dave. It was a pleasure. I'd love to come back another time and have a chat again.
Great. Well, that's it. Another edition of the Redis Community Podcast. Just take a look for us online at redislabs.com/community.